broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hey, it's a great, great windy another day, and it's going to keep going on. We've got a flash flood watch in effect for all of the islands until tomorrow at least, and who knows, they keep it extending this. So there's a flash flood watch, high surf warning for the east-facing shores. So along the coast, you can expect all that debris to be back up on the highway, and these breezy conditions are just going to continue. But I got to tell you, I made it through the wind and the rain in Kalihi and driving on the freeway, and then all of a sudden, I took the exit, the Waialae off-ramp, and that's how you get here, of course, the Sony Open in Hawaii, where we are live broadcasting from the Waialae Country Club. We don't have a gorgeous sunrise like we often do. This morning, it is definitely offshore, looking pretty dark. But I was here yesterday, and the sun was out, and the guys were playing, and the conditions, you know, you got to watch where you step because it's a little muddy. There's a lot of ponding on some of the spots, so just be aware. But it's a great, great tournament, and I hope you come down if you're on Oahu. The wind, just bring a little rain cover, and I've got a great lineup for you this morning. We're starting off with Mark Rolfing, and Mark Rolfing, of course, NBC and Golf Channel commentator and analyst, and he's going to be on television after maybe a little fishing, but we'll talk with him. We want to thank the people who make this show possible, including Oahu Extraction. When it floods, I want to bring this up right now, okay, because it's definitely that kind of weather. Or, of course, other things happen. The water gets into your home with mud, and when that dries out, you got a lot to deal with. Oahu Extraction can help you. They're on site in 90 minutes, and their number is 808-330-6212. They're across Oahu, across the state, at oahuextraction.com. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water or worse, sewer pipes break or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
We have Mark Rolfing in the clubhouse, and Mark is, of course, NBC Golf Channel. He does so much. He's involved with Top Golf in Hawaii. You know he's been on the show. We've talked about that. Part of the Kapalua Refinement Project to make that beautiful plantation course as gorgeous as it was. And we'll get to that. We're going to start off, of course. We're at the Sony Open in Hawaii. And we don't have a defending champion. And the guy who was so amazing, Justin Thomas, he did not make the cut. We don't have Matt Kuchar. So what do you make of this leaderboard as we're starting off this third day and the final weekend?
That's pretty chaotic out there. I just looked at Justin Thomas's interview from yesterday, and he ended up by saying, I played like crap, which he did. You know, I got to say this. I think he was a little worn out. That tournament had so much emotion to it. It was such a tough week. It's a hard course to walk physically, so it takes its toll on the players physically, but the conditions last week, which were difficult, a little bit like we have here, I think mentally took a toll, and it's no surprise to me that Patrick Reed looked like he had run out of gas yesterday out here. Thomas had, so no surprise. Don't think that Justin Thomas is in trouble with his game. He'll be right back. But this is a great leaderboard here, and I don't know if I've ever seen a situation where everybody in the field can win today. They are within seven shots of the lead. That's why it was just so devastating that Parker McLaughlin, who was 8 shots behind the lead, only 8, which you can make up in an instant out here in 2 days. He's not even teeing off today.
I know. He just missed the cut by 1 stroke. He was 2 over. Our contingent, Eric Dugas, as well as Tyler Ota, as well as, oh, we just have one other player from Hawaii who also did not miss, who did not
Jared.
Make the cut. Jarrett Sawada, who, by the way, Monday qualified, so he worked really hard to get into this tournament. He dealt with all these conditions. It is exhausting just being, I mean, I'm telling you to come down here because it's lovely, but if you're playing in these conditions, trying to figure out the wind, and then the gust comes up just as you're ready for your shot and you've got to pull back, tell me how stressful that is for a player.
It's very stressful, and I'll tell you an interesting story. My good friend and one of the greatest athletes of all time, Kelly Slater, came out yesterday, and he was in the booth with us for a couple of segments. But one of the things that he wanted to do was watch how these guys dealt with the difficult conditions and watch how they dealt with the stress. He really felt like he could come out here and learn something because it does take a totally unique individual to be able to deal with all this. You're going to have some bad things happen out there today. And the guys that aren't dealing with it mentally are the ones that are not playing this weekend. It takes a while to adjust. Look at what Webb Simpson did. He had all kinds of trouble the first day and came back, shot 66 yesterday, and he's right there. That's why you're seeing this mix of veterans that are starting to come to the top. Ryan Palmer, he loves conditions like this. Grew up in Texas. What are you talking about, wind? This is not even windy. So it's all mental, I think, Danielle. If you think you're going to go out there and play well today, and if you look forward to playing in the wind, you're going to play great. If you don't, forget it.
Colin Morikawa said the reason why these young guys, and we just talked about veterans, but there's also the young guys who are playing well in these conditions, the reason they're coming out so well, people say it's the web.com tour, he says it's because we believe we can. We believe, and when you believe you can, then that's half the battle. Then you just have to pick your club, and the relationship he has with his caddy seems to be one. The caddy didn't even think he'd get the position because Colin Morikawa is so talented and had so many options. But for him to be able to get on board, get on that bag, and be able to play, and now he says, the caddy says, "Oh, Colin, he's like a caddy. He thinks like a caddy." So we've got some really great contenders. He's another young player who's, I don't know, what did he play, 49 tournaments last year?
Played every one, just about.
Yeah, just amazing.
You know, when Colin says that he believes he can, he is totally right. And I think back to my college career, which was a mighty long time ago. I won back-to-back college tournaments my junior year. I had sort of an explosion of, wow, I got real better, real fast. But nobody knew it. I wasn't playing on TV. Nobody had even known this was happening. College golf was, you know, it was a sport that you played in college, and it was great. But I wasn't, I didn't experience the kind of things that Colin has in his college career, live on the Golf Channel, traveling to tournaments all over, having to do interviews with people like Danielle Tucker. We never did any of that. And I think all of that has prepared these guys to be able to come out and step into this arena and be successful immediately.
I'm so glad you brought that up. The television broadcasts of college golf, and they're exciting. It's Golf Channel has committed the cameras necessary to capture. Sometimes, you know, if you don't have enough cameras, you're not going to get the excitement. And there's a real commitment on the part of Golf Channel to bring that excitement to him. Just like here at Wailea, it's difficult. Now, let's talk about the conditions. We're talking about the weather. We're talking about these guys, the mental stress. And Colin Morikawa, by the way, worked with a mental coach since the age of 8. So that's pretty incredible as well. That gives him quite the leg up on most of them. But you were talking on Golf Channel or NBC. I'm not sure what portion I was watching. I catch everything as I can. The greens are, what, 10 on the stimp meter? They're running really
if
slow.
That.
If that.
If
okay.
That.
And the fairways are saturated. So is that harder for these fellows?
Well, no and yes. The cause and effect is that the soft weather conditions make the fairways easier. When they get soft, usually these wildlife fairways run and they're real bouncy and springy. The 18th hole, for example, it's a sharp dog leg left, was the hardest fairway to hit on the PGA Tour for 2 years in a row, of any hole on the tour. The reason is it's curved sharp to the left, and you just can't land the ball in the fairway and keep it there. But when it gets soft like this, it makes the fairways wider, so the fairways get easier. On the other hand, when it gets soft like this, the greens are much more difficult to putt. So that actually is more of an impact than the soft fairways. These guys are having all kinds of trouble on the greens. You're seeing putts being left short. The veterans that have in their brain the wild-eyed greens of years gone by aren't making anything. Justin Thomas did not make a putt of any significance in 36 holes. It is way harder to putt these greens when they get slower.
Is that because the Bermuda has more grain, and when it's wet, it just really takes the ball?
It does, and so when the wind is blowing like this, the green will dry out a little bit, but then a squall will come through and put just a little dusting of water on it, and that changes everything. So depending where you are on the course and what kind of the condition, the greens are actually changing speed within the round for these players.
Oh my God!
So that's been the complicated. The putting stats are not good.
No, they're not. And I thought it was interesting that on the first day, the front nine I think was harder. On the second day, the front nine was easier. And so, as you say, everything is like in flux. You can't go out and say, okay, I know this front nine, I can make up on something, because it's not the same by the time you get to the following day.
And it's hard for the players to get out of their mind, Danielle, the fact that they're so used to shooting low scores here that mentally they're not playing the course the way it needs to be played. Patrick Reed yesterday, you know, he got behind the eight ball. He was a couple over in the round, still really in good shape. Two over was going to be fine early in the round. Then he hit a bad shot over at number four, and I watched him take a couple of chances out there that Patrick Reed typically wouldn't do. He is so good with his short game. But he tried to hit a couple of shots, and he ended up making double on the hole because he thought, man, I got to get these shots back fast, when in fact you don't. The winning score is not going to be our typical wild-eye winning score. And, you know, just getting around shooting 70, 71 out here is really good.
So 7-under after two rounds?
6-under.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, 6-under. Wow, it almost seems like, man, I feel like I could go out and shoot 6-under. Of course, I couldn't. But, you know, that just shows really how tough. And I think it says a lot about the quality of Wiley, that it can play that difficult. Everybody thinks it's an easy course. It's far from that.
You know, and Tom Doak's work on the Seth Rayner course, how do you like that?
I like that. I wish it would all been done at once. You know, when you do a refinement like we did, everybody can't wait to see all of it as a package.
Mm-hmm.
We did it in 4 months. You know, from 1 year to the next, they saw what it was, and then they saw the new one. The Doak renovation here has been done over 6 years. All the holes still aren't done. You know, they're doing two or three holes at a time, and I just wish they would get it done and do it all at once. So especially when you're going retro, back to, you know, 100 years ago, it's way better, the impact, if you do it all at once. So now you got kind of a mixture of holes out there. I like the new holes. I you know, I'm a fan of Doak, and I think it was a great idea to come back to the Rayner. I just would rather see more of it done than two or three holes a year.
And I want to go back a little bit to the wind. From what I hear, the greens are the most difficult. So we always think as amateur golf, as recreational golfers, as, you know, people who just go out and play and have fun, that the wind is going to be the hardest part, and that it's going to take your ball and do things with it that you didn't expect it to do. These guys are so good that they can adjust for that?
Yes, they can. The difficulty of Wiley, if you look at the way Wiley is set up, it's a tiny piece of property. It's only 120 acres. But almost all the holes are crosswind. We've got this trade wind coming from the northeast. And the way the course is laid on the ground, which is pretty much the original design, has the wind coming across almost all the holes. Rarely are you playing straight downwind or straight into the wind. And when that happens, that is the most difficult condition for the players, and especially with the putting. I'd much rather putt when it's windy into the wind or downwind. You're going to get a truer roll, and the wind's not going to affect it as much. It's that crosswind that has the biggest impact.
But you do have to be careful which club you choose, because it could take your ball further than you'd expect it to.
I think the key in a situation like this, and for folks at home, is to make sure that your trajectory is basically going against the wind. If you are trying to hit a draw and you're a right-handed player in a right-to-left wind that is this strong, there's no way to control it.
That's
play
right.
A little bit of a slice and hold it into the wind, because you just can't have a ball curving that much and know where it's going to come to rest.
Yeah, that would be that would be the tough one. You bring up Patrick Reed, and I just want to kind of talk a little bit about some of the things that have been happening in the news during Sony Open and Hawaii Week. And, of course, one of them is Patrick Reed having his lawyers deliver a cease and desist order to Brandel Chambly, who's been quite vocal about Patrick Reed's violation. And Patrick accepted the two-stroke penalty with, well, he didn't really accept it, but he said he had excuses why, but he would take it anyway. Then I read this interesting article, and it was about a villain. You know, you can say what you will about what Patrick Reed did, and whether or not he did what you think he did or didn't do, that's an aside. Patrick has kind of this aura of being the bad guy, he seems to embrace it. He loves it. He's not really Captain America so much as he's the black hat. So we have black hats and we have white hats, and the PGA Tour is all about white hats. Everybody's great, and we're all following the rules, and we're all being really good people, and that's wonderful about the sport, about the golf. Integrity. But Patrick seems to be the antithesis of that in a way. And the article stated that it's important that we have a villain in golf because that brings eyes to the table. People pay attention for whatever reason we need it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Pat, first of all, you're correct. Patrick is the villain. He has pretty much brought everything that's happening onto himself, and this is not something that just happened in the Bahamas 2 months ago. This started a long, long time ago, all the way back to his college days. I'm not so sure that you have to find a villain to create rooting interest in golf. There are different reasons why people root in sports. Football, the NFL, you root for a home team. That's your team. Or if you're betting on the games, you root, and there's no legalized gambling on golf now, but there will be. So maybe that'll shift away from needing a villain. A villain provides a reason for people to root. And I don't know. Patrick somehow embraces this thing. I don't understand it. It's got to be tiring. It's got to wear you out to constantly be fighting with people and hearing bad things about yourself. And I just can't imagine what living your life would be like being the villain. And I'm not so sure that long-term, I heard Jaime Diaz say on the Golf Channel the other day, he doesn't think it's sustainable to be a villain that long, that if you're fighting with everybody, it's going to wear you out eventually. And I think he's right. It's easier to be nice to people. It's easier to have people like you than it is to be going against everybody all the time.
Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was a villain in a lot of people's minds, even though he was this incredible champion that we all were like in awe of and going, Tiger is going to win this because he just does win. That's what he does. And yet there were so many things and people talking about he doesn't tip or he doesn't do this or he's not nice to people and he's got this army of security guards. He's not even nice to kids. I mean, you can come up with all kinds of reasons why people didn't like Tiger Woods. And then he turned. It's like we have a different Tiger Woods now. We have a Tiger Woods has come through all of that, at least from what we see. And he seems to be a genuine nicer person, and he seems to enjoy and embrace that. But you were at President's Cup. You were there watching Tiger Woods as a playing captain. You were there with Patrick Reed as he was playing President's Cup. So tell me what your thoughts are on Tiger's transformation and how he handled the President's Cup.
That's a great question. First of all, he did a phenomenal job as captain of the President's Cup. There's two philosophies. Ernie Els basically told his team what to do. He had a lot of young rookies. Over half his team was rookies, and he told them how to play Royal Melbourne. Tiger Woods told his team to figure out what to do. He had a different kind of group. He did a wonderful job captaining. Patrick Reed could learn a lot from Tiger Woods. What happened to Tiger Woods, the biggest transformation, Danielle, that I have seen in this sort of resurgence now, is that Tiger, and he is a different person, Tiger has come to appreciate and realize what he has, how important it is to the fans, how much he means to them, how important it is for the other players to have a relationship with him. And now that he appreciates that, that is a big part of the way he conducts himself. He is grateful. He is thankful. And if Patrick Reed would just step back for a minute and look at what is going on with him right now, and if he just said, you know what, I appreciate it. I do love this game. I do love people and the fans. And I'm going to start over. I'm sorry, everybody. I made some mistakes. We all make mistakes. But just say I'm sorry. If people are forgiving here in this country. We've seen that for years and years. I think they would forgive him if he started over being a little more appreciative. It would really change the whole world for him. And if he were playing in an atmosphere like that, you know, open up the floodgates, he would be a top five player in the world.
And we're talking about Patrick Reed.
Yes, we are.
Now, I have to admit, okay, full disclosure, I'm at Century, and I don't want Patrick Reed to win on the plantation course, the Century Tournament of Champions. I want Justin Thomas to win. I want anyone else to win because I want the champion to be, I don't know, untarnished with this newly refined, gorgeous plantation course and the commitment the Century folks made to the tournament, to Maui. I mean, that's the fan, and that's Danielle the fan, not Danielle the golf reporter, okay? I mean, we all have personal feelings about things. We can't help that. We're human. So I'm sitting there going, God, I hope Justin Thomas pulls this off. Patrick Reed looks so in control. He came from behind. He did, as you said, I mean, he is, you were talking earlier before we were on the air. He's an amazing short game player. He has the skills that Tiger showed us. What you need to really be good is to be good in your short game. You can bomb it as long as you want, but if you can't get it in the hole, you ain't got nothing. And Tiger showed us that. Patrick Reed, when he tried to emulate Tiger, he said, I'm going to be the next Rare in the Red. That bothered me, the fan. But it was just an interesting feeling that I had. So when Justin Thomas pulled it off, I was very grateful to Justin Thomas.
Here's the thing, Danielle. And you started off by saying there's a big faction of people that say we need a villain in the game. And you're right. I don't have a problem with you thinking that. I was not rooting against Patrick Reed, I don't think. I know there's a lot of people at the Masters that didn't want him to win, for crying out loud. He hadn't even invited his parents to come out and watch him play, and they lived a mile and a half away. There's nothing wrong with you wanting Justin Thomas to beat Patrick Reed, but in some ways you've almost answered your question from the beginning by saying, look what happened to me, and I think it happened to a lot of other people too. You're not alone in that thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the worst thing in the world for all of us? I don't know. There was a lot of people watching television on Sunday night from Maui. That's all I know. And that's great. That's the goal for all of us.
And the ratings for the tournament in general, were they great?
Yeah, they were really good. I mean, we had a couple of breaks. The first one was the NFL game finished early. Seattle and whoever they're, Philly, I guess, ran the ball all the time, and the game ended early. And then we stayed on late, so we were on an extra hour. We got into prime time on the West Coast even. So, yes, the rating was very, very good and built. The key is, if you look at television ratings and it's really, really good, and then all of a sudden you see people turning the channel because either something else is on or they don't like the golf, that's a problem. But in the case of Century, that rating just kept getting bigger and bigger, and the people were obviously it was a very compelling situation.
It absolutely was. And the darkness happening, and it's got to finish, and it was really perfect. We're here at Sony Open in Hawaii, and Brendan Steele is in the lead right now with Cameron Davis, an Australian. And, of course, we think a lot about everything going on in Australia, and our prayers and our thoughts are with the folks there. And I'm so glad to see how many people are donating, because what's happening there is apocalyptic. It's just unbelievable how the fires are consuming a continent. When you put it like that, it just really takes your breath away, and it must be unbelievable to be from there and to try to play, and he's doing very well for his country. We need to take a break. We're going to come back talking with Mark Rolfing, NBC, CBS, commentator, analyst. We're at Sony Open in Hawaii, and I'm telling you, it's going to be a lovely day because they don't start teeing off over here until just about 11:20, and when I got here yesterday afternoon, about that time, the sun was out. It was a beautiful day. Our leaders go off at 1 o'clock if you can't get here in the morning, and they are Brendan Steele, Cameron Davis, and Cameron Smith. And we also have just a fabulous leaderboard with a lot of guys who are in there. It's great to see Keegan Bradley so close to the top, Russell Knox, Ryan Palmer, Sam Ryder, Bo Hong, and Rob Oppenheimer. I mean, there's a lot of guys tied for third, including Colin Morikawa, Rory Sabatini, Brian Harman. If you want to watch them, they're up at 12:30. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Celebrate the new year with the Tour's big hitters at Wyline, January 7th through 13th. Golf's best, like Patton Kizzire, Justin Thomas, Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, and Bryson DeChambeau, bring big game drama, creating big money for Hawaii charities. Get your tickets now at SonyOpenInHawaii.com or at First Hawaiian Bank's on Oahu. Military free with ID. Admissions and bag policy, visit SonyOpenInHawaii.com. SonyOpenInHawaii.com.
Your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Kapalua Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator freezer so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people in the Aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And they're teeing off here at the Sony Open in Hawaii at the Wailea Country Club. The third round groupings, of course, going off at, first off, 11:20 on the first tee and on the second tee, doing double tees still. And we've got Keegan Bradley and Russell Knox and Ryan Palmer at 12:50. We have at 1 o'clock Brendan Steele, Cameron Davis, and Cameron Smith. some of your leaders. Just a few fun facts that I wanted to share with you. Did you know that the Sony Open is the third longest running event on the tour and has among the highest favorability ratings among the tour players? Did you know that Wailea Country Club is also the third longest running host course on the PGA Tour? And did you know that the 2002 Sony Open champ, Jerry Kelly, I had no idea, and PGA Tour six-time champion Rory Sabatini have both played in all 22 Sony Open tournaments?
Did you know that more people die every year from getting hit on the head by a falling coconut than they do getting killed by a shark in the ocean?
That wouldn't surprise me. We don't hear about those coconuts, those mean, nasty things falling out of the sky. We've been talking a lot, though, about, Corin Crenshaw and you, the refinement team working so hard at the Plantation course to refine it in time for the Century Tournament of Champions. Tom Doak's been working here, as you said, for 6 years, getting this back to the Seth Rayner feel. Of course, with the hotel sitting there, it can't be exactly the way it was. But he's recreating those beautiful feelings that Seth Rayner put into this golf course. We lost one part of his team left earlier this last year in February, his wife, Alice. Pete died this week, and he was 94 years old, had an incredible career, so many accolades coming out, everyone thinking about Pete Dye and the influence we have Oahu. On Oahu, we have a Pete Dye. It's the Hawaiian Country Club. On the Big Island, we have a Pete Dye. It's the Big Island Country Club. Your thoughts on Pete Dye and his influence?
Well, Pete Dye was a phenomenal man. But it's interesting, we transitioned from Patrick Reed to Pete Dye, and I think Patrick Reed would do well to look at Pete Dye, who was a villain, particularly early on in his career. But in the end, everybody braced him, and the thing about Pete Dye was he was nice to everyone. And Pete was an amazing guy. You mentioned two names of architects, Bill Coore and Tom Doak. They both worked for Pete Dye. And Pete told me once that of all the architects that worked for him, the up-and-comers that were in the business, the two least likely to succeed of his entire group were Tom Doak and Bill Coore. So that was one of the things he didn't get right. Pete Dye, Danielle, reminds me, and I said it on the Golf Channel the other day, of the Arnold Palmer of golf design.
Oh.
He designed boldly. He took chances. He probably could have won more. He probably could have designed more better courses. But he was a bold, bold architect, way ahead of his time. But yet he was nice to everybody. So it reminds me a little of Arnold Palmer.
Interesting. There are a lot of people who said he was penal in the way he set up his golf courses, too much so.
Well, you know what? The thing that was great about him as an architect was most of his intimidation was visual. He visually just scared you to death when you were playing his courses. And what he would do, and TPC Sawgrass Stadium course is probably the one that comes to mind first, is he would put something on the left-hand side of the hole, let's say, that you would look at it like the water left of 18 and say, oh, my heavens, don't go there no matter what. Oh, my heavens, stay out of there. But then, actually, if you go the other way to the right, it's worse. Because if you go to the right, you're going to end up over in that water on your next shot. And so he visually intimidates you and in a lot of ways kind of tricks you into doing things that you wouldn't otherwise do. And the players, talking to them about Pete Dye this week, there's a group of players that didn't like any of his designs, period. As time has gone on, some of his really harsh courses have gotten better. Kiawah Island comes to mind first. When we played the Ryder Cup there in 91, it was the hardest course I had ever seen, I think, by far. And it's softened up now over time, as Pete did. Same with Whistling Straits. I remember Herb Kobler called me one time a few years ago and asked me if I would come to Whistling Straits one day because poor Pete Dye was coming up there. This was about 4 years ago. They had announced the Ryder Cup was coming. And Herb had to break the news to Pete that those nice little sort of chocolate drop hills and stuff that he had built were going to be leveled to put corporate tents on. And Herb didn't think he was going to have a very good chance of convincing Pete and wanted me to come and help him.
How did it go?
Not that well.
But they came down?
Yes, they did. You'll see the Ryder Cup from there in September.
That's going to be exciting, absolutely. Something else that happened the same week that I thought was interesting was while we were talking about Pete Dye's passing, Michelle Wee announces on Instagram that she's going to be a mom. And I love how she said, "We can't wait to meet you when you come later this summer," and that it's a girl. I mean, the way she phrased that, meeting her child, you know, that was, to me, very, very deep.
Yeah, I'm really happy for Michelle. She's going to be a wonderful mom. It'll be interesting to see what this stage of life really does for her and how big a transition it is. I got a call back in April of last year from management at NBC and Golf Channel that said, "Hey, would you talk to Michelle Wee and see if she'd be interested in announcing golf in our studio during the Solheim Cup?" Because she was not going to make the team. And I said, "Yeah, but I doubt she'll want to do that." Anyway, to make a long story short, she did. And she was wonderful in that booth. And she's going to be in there again. And I've told her a couple times, "Don't get your eye on my chair yet. I'm not leaving that chair yet. So don't get any thoughts in your head here." But I think she really enjoyed it. She's going to do a little more this year. She's going to be doing some stuff for CBS at the Masters, which is a week before Lotte. But I see her transitioning in her life in general. You know, she was kind of in this rut in her 20s, I thought, that needed a change. And what better change than becoming a mom? And who knows, maybe she's going to be the next big, you know, television analyst in golf. She's still got golf, competitive golf in her blood. You know, the LPGA is like the PGA Tour. They are getting younger, and they are getting better. And I'm sure she's looking at these young kids coming out on the LPGA and saying, "How am I going to beat them?" It's like they're all saying, "How am I going to beat Morikawa out here?" It's tough now.
It is. It is. It's interesting that you say that she, you know, that she's going to do the Masters, and some, you know, wonder if because she's pregnant. Pregnancy, by the way, does not stop anyone from doing their job.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, no. I was pregnant until on the day I had to go to the hospital, I was doing the news on the radio. So, you know, it doesn't stop any woman from actually performing very well at what she's got to do. Before we take another break, I need to ask you an interesting question that came up. I didn't know that they used to use real pineapples here at the Sony Open in Hawaii on the tee as, what were they, tee markers? And Steve Elkington asked on Twitter that somebody snapped and chopped one. And who was that?
That was Craig Stadler.
That was Craig.
My old roommate for years. And doesn't surprise me. And by the way, Steve, that wasn't the only time he's ever hit a pineapple or tee marker like that. He really didn't care what the tee marker material was. It could have been a cement block. If he didn't hit the kind of shot he wanted, he was going after it.
He had a bit of an attitude, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, I think some players kind of need that. They need a release. John Rahm comes to mind. Everybody's saying, "Oh, if John Rahm, you know, was just a little easier on himself, and he's got to start controlling his temper and everything else." I know these young Spaniards. I grew up watching Sergio Garcia. You just can't totally change who you are. And Stadler was great at being able to compartmentalize his anger. It was brutal for a little while, and then he was over it. He probably forgot by the next hole he had done it.
I think the pineapple was the perfect one to hit. Easy on the club. We're going to come back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. We're talking with Mark Rolfing. CBS is coming up later. He's NBC and Golf Channel. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Celebrate the new year with the Tour's big hitters at Wylie, January 7th through 13th. Golf's best, like Patton Kizzire, Justin Thomas, Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, and Bryson DeChambeau, bring big game drama, creating big money for Hawaii charities. Get your tickets now at SonyOpenInHawaii.com or at First Hawaiian Banks on Oahu. Military free with ID. Admissions and bag policy, visit SonyOpenInHawaii.com. SonyOpenInHawaii.com.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
Does your golf swing have a hitch in it? Want to learn the finer points to play better? Get the fun back in your game with coaching by Master PGA Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau, Director of Instruction at Wailea Golf Academy, a Golf Channel Academy. Claude, a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, you will improve immediately and get fast results. Call Claude at 808-856-9458 or email cbrousseau@wailea.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-856-9458. And have fun counting your birdies.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
It's Sony Open Saturday, and it's going to get underway. The tee times starting off at 11:20 on 1 and 10. I'm sitting here. Mark Rolfing's been with me, golf analyst and commentator for Golf Channel and NBC Sports, Hawaii Top Golf. We've been talking about lots of stuff. And now David Havens, PGA, Aloha Section PGA of the Year, founder of Spare for Change. He is also Havens Experience at Maui Nui, Aloha Section PGA board member. Are you still a board member? Welcome into the clubhouse.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I'm currently the vice president.
You're current.
I just moved into the vice presidency.
Moving on up.
So thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So you're back here in the spectator village, I want to call it.
Yes.
So when you come into the Sony Open, you walk through the entrance. You're going to go to your right, and you just keep walking down the sidewalk, and you're going to see an entrance, and there are lots of tents. How are the tents holding up?
You know, they've taken a beating, but the guys and girls that put them up must have done a really good job because they're holding strong.
They're holding strong. See, so and I was here yesterday. And it was a lovely day. It was actually, the wind had died down. So all of this stuff that you're feeling in the morning, mornings are more difficult. And Spare for Change, tell us, your tent's going to be up there. You're going to have clubs everywhere. And what do you do?
So Spare for Change, my wife and I started Spare for Change in 2011. It's kind of a give back to the game that's given me so much. I recycle golf clubs for kids and adults.
He recycles golf clubs. So
yes.
This is all about sustainability, people.
Yes.
Okay.
So and we make sure that if someone wants to play the game, that they have a golf club. And I make sure it's the right size, and we send them on their way. I want to put a club in everybody's hand that wants to play.
Last year, David Havens was fitting this little I mean, she might be 2 years old. And he was just cut it. Then what he does, he takes the club, puts it in a brace, and cuts it here, and puts on a brand new. Then I ran into somebody, a brand new grip, and gets everything ready. And then I was walking down the sidewalk, and I ran into a friend. He said, "This is my first time at a golf tournament. I'd kind of like to get into the game." And I said, "Well, you need to go see David Havens. He'll make you a club. So you'll have a club to start with." You made him two clubs that he was very happy to walk out with.
I remember.
Yes.
And those little kids, when we make them clubs, people ask me, why don't you pre-cut a bunch of clubs and all this? Well, part of the experience is letting them choose a club, watching me cut it, letting them pick a grip, seeing how it's built, then that's their buy-in. That's their club. It's just like getting your first piece of mail. When you're a kid, you get your first comic book. I remember that like it was yesterday. But getting your golf club, and sometimes it's a bad thing because the kids, when they get their club, they want to leave the tournament. They want to go and play. And then the mom, the next day, we're like, well, he slept in bed with it last night because he just loves it so much. I'm like, that's why I do it.
Yes, and Mark Rolfing, Mark, you said you're going to go visit him today?
I am going to go visit him because I got a little break after your show. Let me say this about David Havens. There's a pretty small group of people in these islands that really make a difference when it comes to golf and really give a lot to the game. And I get way too much attention just because I happen to be on television. This man sitting right here, David Havens, is the real deal. And just watching him and watching him grow and kind of the role he has taken on here, and he is going to be the leader, has become, you know, really one of our leaders in the whole golf industry here. And he's got it right, man. If we don't make an investment in getting people to play this game, the equipment is so expensive these days. It's wonderful to have all these great $500 and $600 drivers, you know, that can blast the ball a mile that these guys get free that are playing this weekend out here at Wildlife. But, you know, a lot of people can't afford even new equipment. It's not like having a little basketball and going over to the hoop, you know, and shoot baskets. It's an expensive game, so what he's doing is remarkable.
Yeah, and you don't have to be a kid. I'm telling you, if you go over, see David, he will make you a club. He might even make you two. And then you'll be able to go to a driving range, and that's not expensive, and you can go to the driving range. You could go over to Bayview. They put in a Top Tracer at Bayview, and they're having a fundraiser for Meals on Wheels today. So you could go over there and just hit balls and find out what this is all about without having to go out. And it's hard to buy a club. And if you go to one of the places that have clubs, you know, that like Roots and Relics, it's not fit for you. You know, it's not your size. And here you have, and plus you think about fitting.
Absolutely. And excuse me, to Mark's point,
yes,
you want to have getting a club in everyone's hand. Golf clubs are expensive. However, once you get a club from me, you can practice, see if you like it, and if you get into it, eventually you can buy something that fits your personality, and you get fitted for it, because all these guys out here all have fitted clubs, and even though they're probably on staff with most of the club manufacturers, and they get clubs for free probably.
Yeah, of course.
but I don't want to underestimate the greatness of being fit, and my clubs that I cut over there, I want to make sure that they're the right size so the kids, they don't have flat swings.
Here's what's really important. What David does, besides actually getting a club in somebody's hand, is he is teaching them to understand the game and how the game works. And Azinger and I were talking the other day, because we're so old, about Justin Thomas, like, and why he hits it so far. And Justin Thomas basically uses the ground as a small man. He is pushing off the ground. He's using that as his leverage to get his distance. We didn't know that. We didn't have any information about our swings or fitting or anything else. And what David is doing is getting people to start thinking, I need to understand how this thing works. And so, yeah, that's not the club they're going to end up with, you know, when they get real serious about the game. But they're going to learn how to understand.
Yeah.
It's like analytics coming from him.
Yeah, and what was fun with my grandson is getting his clubs done. He was married to them. That was my club, and this fits my body. I want more clubs. I don't want just three clubs in my bag. I want to have more clubs. I want to learn more about this game, which, you know, of course, you can take it one at a time as long as you know where to go. And this would be the time to come and see David Havens. He'll be here on Oahu. You are working to expand Spare for Change, though, across the United States.
We are. So on Sunday, I have a little girl that's coming over. She's 13 years old, Gabriella. She's coming. We're going to set up a nonprofit for her. She's going to be Spare for Change California. She's been going around with her father, and they're coming here on Sunday to shadow me and watch what I do. But she's going to handle all of our operations in California, 13-year-old girl. She is in love with what we do.
She loves her golf.
And she's
and
Spare for Change California.
She's going to be Spare for Change California because we have a Spare for Change in Virginia.
Wow.
My high school teammate, Timmy Jones, he takes care of operations there. So if people have clubs in Maine, instead of sending the clubs to me, they go to Virginia.
Wow.
And
isn't that great?
Because how many people do you know have a garage full of stuff that they'll never use again? But there are kids on Lanai and kids everywhere that need golf clubs. And we just got to get them
connected
in the right hands.
Yes.
And that's me.
So obviously people can't bring a box full of clubs down over to the Sony Open in Hawaii. How do they get them to you?
So Ann Miller, she did a nice story that's in the magazine this year for the Sony Open. And then there was an article about I was doing a club drive. So I picked up clubs on Wednesday, and I came across about 750.
750?
Yes, between Kevin Carl and what he picked up for me here at Wailea and then other just private golfers around Oahu, I have more than I can give away. I'm giving it out with both hands over there. And some of the stuff, they're older. But for example, this there was a Hiro Hanma driver that was in there, and everyone's like, do you want old wooden heads? Yes. Those make the most amazing little junior clubs because all my juniors, I have them practice with wooden heads. Because if you can learn to hit that club, hitting that big driver is like cheating.
Yeah.
You go from that tiny little head to where you can hit it solid, and then you go to that massive driver.
Big Bertha.
It's enormous. You think, I get to hit this after I've learned to hit with this?
Yes.
It teaches pure ball striking. So
you also have a friend who's joining us now. Right now, Mark Rolfing is here, David Havens, and Jay Turner is joining us, CEO and president and founder of Redbird Sports. And you have a wonderful club-fitting, very easy club-fitting style that people can actually go online is it jeffmont.com?
Right, that's the basic website.
That's the basic website, and find out more about how you fit. And you do fittings in minutes. It's really quite amazing.
Right.
And the last time you were here, welcome into the clubhouse, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Nice to be out of Seattle right now.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Kind of looks like Seattle out there right now.
No, it's 40 degrees warmer.
Oh,
so let me qualify it. What comes down in our area now is white. But anyway, nice to be here.
Are you hanging out with David while at the booth?
Yeah,
helping.
Slumming. No, I can say that because I love him like a brother. But we've been close for a number of years.
Yeah,
been a nice relationship.
If somebody were to come, would you give him a few tips?
Oh, absolutely. That's what we're here for.
So you're actually helping with club fitting in addition to him cutting those clubs down.
Exactly. Well, he doesn't let me around his tools because I do it a little differently. So, and I'm old now and can't see, and so I can only take so much critique from him.
He needs this nice workshop, and see, he has all the nice vices and all that things. I'm an old Yankee workshop kind of. I do the hand tools, and I do it. You know, the rough way.
He's got one of those metal saws.
That's how I started. I've gotten spoiled over the years. But
here's one thing, too, Danielle, for the folks listening. If you've been fit, that doesn't mean you can't get fit again because things change. I had an interesting experience a couple months ago. Butch Harmon was in our booth in Las Vegas and did a show with us there. And he asked me how I was playing, and I said, oh, I can't hit a shot. You know, my cancer surgery area is killing me, and I can't take a divot. He goes, well, I'm going to give you a lesson afterwards. So we went outside, and he said, oh, man, you got to strengthen your grip. You got to shallow out. You got to do this and that. But he said, you got to go get refitted. You know, whatever you got fitted for when you were pretty good isn't going to work anymore. You know, so, folks, if you're listening, that is such an important element.
It's funny. Whatever you were fitted for when you were pretty good.
Yeah.
Bodies change over time.
We do evolve.
Yeah. You want to tell us about
our whole system is based on body type. It's something we patent. I got a U.S. patent in 2011. And so we can fit people for length and lie angle without seeing them take a swing. And that's really important for a couple of reasons. One, I believe good teachers can teach. And so our job becomes one of putting a club in a player's hand that accommodates the right address position, the right impact position and reinforces proper motion. And we did it with your son.
Yes.
You know, and it's really simple, and it's kind of like what David does. You don't have to play. And they talk about fitting clubs. How do you, if you're going to fit somebody's swing that's never played, how do you fit something that doesn't exist? It's that process going at it from that way, I think, is very flawed.
Exactly.
And also with most amateurs, we have flaws. We're not like these guys across the street that you could swing fit every day. So when you have flaws and you fit a flawed swing, the flaws are incorporated in the fit. And so for the fit to work in the future, the flaws have to be present. So it stifles improvement. And the game, as obviously everybody knows it plays, is extremely difficult. And so our job is to try to do everything we can to facilitate sustainable improvement.
To make it better, to make it easier.
So you can...
And it's based on body type. And
based on body dimensions.
Dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, please, David.
So one thing to what Jay's saying, he made me a better teacher. And so the first thing I look at when my students show up, I look at their equipment. Now, whatever brand it is, whatever make or model it is, I want to make sure that it fits them because I want the student in the right posture. If the clubs don't fit, sometimes it is the equipment. Just like Mark was saying, sometimes it is the equipment. Someone that's 6'5" and you want them to lean in and get their arms under their shoulders and put the club where it's supposed to, they just physically can't do it because their clubs are too short.
Absolutely.
And so sometimes it is the equipment. It's not the player.
Well, to me, and, you know, the whole thing is so silly when people say, well, should I get fit at the very beginning? Well, would you wear a pair of pants that don't fit you? You know, you don't wear...
Shoes. Great example.
Anything, yeah.
You have the best shoes in the world, and if the size isn't right, they're worthless.
Right. Exactly. The
you're
going to
suffer.
Yeah, one way you're going to slide all over the place. So it's huge. It's the biggest thing that you can do. And that's why right now you can come down to the Sony Open, enjoy the golf before then, right?
We're going to stay on through, looks like.
We're going to stay on through.
Yeah.
So you'll be here, and Mark is going to be there, too. He's going to go check it out. And you just get
over
there.
So I need to fit
there.
You.
Yeah, that would
give me 5 minutes.
Sure.
Oh, that's
hurt.
The deal.
That's all it takes. It's amazing what he does. And
all
it's
right.
Like
9 o'clock. How about that?
9 o'clock. Right
done.
On. Done.
Okay.
Good.
9 to 9:05. You're booked in.
Okay.
I'm there. Stainless.
You really work him through there, Doc, don't you?
Oh yeah. A lot of people. Well, he's not intimidated. He's obviously a legend.
Right.
In golf.
Right.
But a lot of people are, and it shouldn't. I give people a lot of credit, especially folks taking it up as adults. It's intimidating. Step on a tee in front of a bunch of people, you know, playing behind you.
Listen, I saw this video of a. I must have been like somebody who just had learned to walk and stand and could hold this club. And he's got this club and this ball's in the grass, and he's whacking at it, whacking. He's missing and missing and missing and missing, and he doesn't care. He just keeps going, whacking and whacking. Finally, it hits and he bounces, and he goes over there, and he keeps whacking and whacking and whacking. I mean, if we would just go with the attitude of, if you miss, no big deal. Just keep trying again. Eventually, you're going to get the hang of it.
You do.
And it's true. You know, I think we expect too much of ourselves, and we're standing in front of other people, and we feel intimidated by the onlookers watching, and they're probably just thinking, yeah, I've got the same problem. You know, it's...
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we do all of this. If you go online and spend 5 minutes and plug in the measurements, it's free.
So it's jeffmont.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go under the fitting subheader, and it's right there.
And so you can learn everything.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend.
Well, not everything, but we'll the basics.
Okay.
I don't want to promise something I can't deliver.
Okay. Haruki. Is,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Haruki
yeah.
is a friend of my grandson from school,
uh-huh.
And Haruki talks nothing but golf. That's his entire world, and his mom is always with him.
I know Haruki well.
Yes, and so Haruki, you know, wanted to get clubs, and he wanted to get clubs fitted, and he got some clubs, and then he was happy with the clubs, and then he wasn't happy with the clubs,
mm-hmm.
And I think he found you. And
yeah, we connected him with a foundation that we're affiliated with that basically provides equipment. We have a lot of Division I college players. Like out of here, we have Evan Kawhi, plays at San Diego, Zoe Yamamoto, who's back east playing, numerous kids, and Haruki was one that kind of, I went to the foundation with this and said, this young man needs some help, let's get him taken care of. And he's been nothing but a pleasure. And I spoke for about, when was David in? Thursday? Ishii? Mm. David Ishii teaches him, and so we spoke about an hour about Haruki and his progress. And it's really fun to see.
Oh, he's getting good,
yeah.
Isn't he?
And he's enjoying it.
Yes. Oh, he loves golf.
Growing.
I mean, he loves golf on a level that, you know, I mean, he walks, talks, breathes. He is golf.
He walked the plantation course with his mom 5 days in a row last week. You know, he's coming up to the tower with me this afternoon and sitting there. He's a man who, young man, that is so in love with the game. But like everybody else, you know, there's three things that are stifling the growth of the game right now. Costs too much, it takes too long, and for beginning golfers, it's too difficult. And a lot of the reason that you just heard Jay and David talking about is people that are beginning the game with the wrong equipment and can't possibly be successful enough to make them want to play more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, Haruki wants to play even more now because he's gotten better and better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wants to be in the Michelle Wee Tournament of Champions.
Sure he does.
You know, he wants to do...
Fun to see.
He wants to be on the high school team. He wants to go to all of the state championships. He's motivated and having a good time.
And he'll get there.
And he will get there because he's determined.
Absolutely.
And that's what it takes. And some people say, well, it's really hard. Well, it depends how much you want it. And if it's just a recreational thing for you, too, it can work because... Alakai, my grandson, said as soon as he played with your club that you made him, I think it was, a pitching wedge. He was like, this is so easy now. So it makes a huge difference, a huge difference.
It makes a big difference.
Yes. I want to thank both you, Jay Turner, from JeffMont.com, for being here, mm-hmm. for letting us know. And people, you can come down. They are here at the Sony Open in Hawaii. You just come through the gates. You walk past that big beer tent, just keep going past the beer tent, go toward Diamond Head, and then you'll see the village. And are you still on the left side of inside the village? Last year you were, if I'm going toward Diamond
Head?
Same place.
We're just off of the 11th tee box.
Oh, okay, great. And then you'll find them, and you'll know you're at the right place because there's all these clubs, and there's a guy who's got a club in a vice, and he's got a... hacksaw, and he's doing his thing. David Havens is the man. Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much, Danielle, for having us on.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate you.
Thank you very much. So, Mark Rolfing, will you stay with us?
I will.
Okay, we're going to come back. We've got Kevin Carl, the head professional of Wailea Country Club. I've decided he's the ringmaster because anything that happens here, he's a part of it. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
Does your golf swing have a hitch in it? Want to learn the finer points to play better? Get the fun back in your game with coaching by Master PGA Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau, Director of Instruction at Wailea Golf Academy, a Golf Channel Academy. Claude, a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, you will improve immediately and get fast results. Call Claude at 808-856-9458 or email cbrousseau Brusseau at WailaGolf.com. That's Claude Brusseau at 808-856-9458. And have fun counting your birdies.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And now, the radio stations we are on, KPUA, Hilo, K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu, K-O-N-I, Lanai City, K-T-O-H, Kalaheo. Into the clubhouse comes, of course, we're at the Waialae Country Club, and I am so happy to be hosted here by the Waialae Country Club, the golf club in-house now. Kevin Carl is the head professional here at Waialae Country Club, Sony Open in Hawaii. The week is underway. It's been underway all week long, and everywhere anything is happening on this golf course, you will find Kevin Carl. He is making sure that everything is running. I had no idea. You should have another title, like, tournament boss. Welcome in. It's good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to see you as well, Dan.
Yeah. So how are things running?
Well, it's running well. We're a little wet. Otherwise, we can't complain. The course looks great on TV.
It does.
Yeah, I mean the greens are a little slower than normal, but
you know what? It gives them more of a challenge.
It does.
It does. Instead of it being glass, they have to actually read the green.
Well,
hopefully,
it can't always be perfect.
Well, it's a golf course. And it's outside, it's in the open, and we deal with the elements, and they come, and I was here, I keep saying this, and I'm going to say it again, I was here yesterday, and it was sunny, and it was comfortable, and I didn't need a sweater and a jacket. I felt ridiculous. What running around is, it looked like I was going to Vancouver to be in 40-degree colder temperatures. It's wonderful. The grounds look beautiful, and everybody is so helpful. The volunteers that you really work hard to make sure it all works. When I was here for the Pro Junior Challenge, I saw you out there. There was first tee here on the course and the stands. It's one thing after another.
It is. Comment weather like this. I mean, they're around the clock.
What time? Oh, they're around the clock. I was going to say, what time are they up and out?
Around the clock. They have several guys that are here 24 hours. The majority of the crew is here 16 hours. But they're doing a heck of a job to present the course. And make it playable.
Absolutely. And it certainly is looking good, and it's playable. And Mark Rolfing and I have been talking about the wind and the wet conditions. So the fairways are so easy, but the greens are running difficult, making it a challenge. Have the scores ever been this low for the Sony Open?
High.
I mean,
yeah.
High.
Low,
yeah.
High, yes. Yes,
thank you.
Yeah, though they have. It's prior to my arrival here at the club, but I know, the year David Sheehy won, the scores were pretty high.
Okay. I was wondering, because in the 21 years that I've been doing this show, I don't remember, and I've been here every one of those years, the weather being like this for this many days. So it just seems like it would be more of a challenge for him to be out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think more recently, too, even the year Jeff Sluman won, I think 9-under. Was the winning score.
So. 9-under,
my first Hawaiian Open was before Kevin Carl was probably even born. And I do not remember a week with weather like this. I also do not remember ever playing what is now 6 consecutive rounds of lift, clean, and place in Hawaii. That is unheard of.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Now, it used to be like to play lift, clean, and place was like a big, like, wow, we're really going to do that? Is that really tournament conditions? But is it necessary given the situation?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, there's mud balls left and right. And some people might refer to it as lift, clean, and cheat, but it's lift, clean, and place.
It's for a very good reason. Yeah, because you couldn't play otherwise.
Well, yeah, and it's closely mown areas, right? So they're not getting relief in the rough, but it's. You have to. There's just mud everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
So be prepared for that. With get your shoes right. You know, don't bring your pretties with you.
Right.
Or leave them in the car and put your mutters on when you get out, because it's so much fun being out here. I feel like there's a thought in your mind right now.
I was thinking about, I wasn't a huge fan of it over on Maui as much as I am here. And you got to remember that the elevation change there is 550 feet, and the elevation change here is about 5 feet. And, you know, there we're on the side of a volcanic mountain. And so I suppose they did it primarily because they weren't sure how bad it was going to get, and they had to be equitable the entire field, and you had to kind of start lift clean in place if you were going to implement it. You can't do it in the middle of a round. Whereas Wailea being as low as it is, it was pretty predictable to me that even if we hadn't had more rain coming in, you were going to have to play lift clean in place. But, we're going through this little mini climate change cycle that we're in now. These rain events that we're having the last few years are pretty regular, and I've never seen it like this.
Yeah, no, and there is a flash flood watch in effect until Sunday, and it will probably be extended. I'm going to do something unusual. I'm going to bring in a gentleman I invited on the show many times over the past couple of months, and it was so funny. He kept telling me, well, no, this doesn't work. No, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. And I would like you to stay. Can you stay, Kevin?
Sure.
Yeah, great. As long as you can. So we were talking about just when, and talking about Frank Navolo, and a golf analyst, of course, and you've all learned to, all about, you've met Frank through NBC and Golf Channel. And then all of a sudden there was, at President's Cup, Mark Rolfing, an announcement, you know, this is going to be my last. I'm like, Frank? Frank is leaving? Frank can't be leaving. I don't understand. Is he retiring? Welcome into the clubhouse, Frank.
Thanks, Danielle. Yeah, that was the reason why the delay. It all happened sort of the beginning of November. So I delayed because I didn't really want to send across a mixed message. I had 16 years Golf Channel that I was very, very proud of. So I wanted to leave on a good note rather than a mixed message. So thank you for the delay.
Absolutely. I'm sitting with Mark, of course, at Wailea Country Club for Sony Open in Hawaii, and he told me that the first broadcast was you and Mark together.
That's correct, yeah. The host was Jim Kelly, and it was a three-man booth. And the producer was a guy by the name of Keith Hirschland, who I'm still good friends with today. And after 45 minutes, I was convinced that I was in the wrong job. So I was lucky because I was sitting next to Mark and Jim Kelly, who's still a friend today, and Keith Hirschland, because Keith took me aside at the end of the day and he goes, "What's up?" And I actually felt like I was dyslexic. I'd always looked at a golf course from the tee to the green, and I never even assumed that you would call golf back to front. We were staying in a booth, and the right-hand bunker was left for the players, and I would just get completely discombobulated. So in my first 45 minutes, my first show was far from my best.
Well,
Rolf was there, yeah. And I've done many a show with Mark Rolfing, and I've enjoyed every one of them.
Yeah, do you recall that first show, Mark?
I do. I wasn't very good either back then, to be honest with you. everybody's saying Frank's leaving, and we are going to miss him to death. But you know what? Frank's not going anywhere.
No.
And he is just such an integral part of the game that I can't wait to watch him on CBS, because I'm a golf fan as much as I am a golf broadcaster, and he just made that CBS team a lot better.
Yeah, he did. And I got to know through Golf Channel you, Frank, and I feel like you're like a friend. And I listen to your opinions and what you have to say. And then with Brandel, sometimes your discussions would become, I don't think it was so much heated as just differences of opinions, two people with different viewpoints. But Golf Channel always then takes us to either NBC or CBS. And the bottom line is, we don't really care which channel it's on as long as it's on. And knowing that you're going to CBS, it makes me have a better feeling about, oh, good, I'm gonna see Frank. I know Frank because he's been on television for so long, and I really respect his opinions. So with that in mind, I wanted to ask you a question that I asked Mark earlier in the show, and it had to deliver the cease and desist and all that stuff. Don't talk about this anymore. And then there was an interesting article about whether we need villains in the game of golf. Is it necessary for the game to have the good guys, the white hats, and there has to be a black hat so that we have, you know, a spark? Do you think that's necessary?
Sadly, yes, it is necessary. I think in order to have fans, then you've got to have people to root against. That's just the nature of any sport. Sometimes we ignore that, but that's the truth. You know, to be honest, I wasn't involved in the call. I was actually in the Bahamas, and I came on for the early coverage on the Saturday morning, which was the last run at the Hero. And I remember the NBC producer saying, Steve Sands was the host, and you're going to have to react to it. And I saw what Paul Azinger and Dan Hicks did, and I thought they did a good job, because it's the big difference when you're in the heat of the moment and it's live, because it's just transpiring. You really are seeing it, you know, in the context of the tournament itself. And then obviously once you've had a chance to let it digest, you know, you're going to put it in some sort of editorial form, which is exactly what's happened. But I remember in an effort to get into the broadcast, quote-unquote, I remember saying on the 11th hole, Patrick Reed made a bad lie better. And at the end of the day, after his round, he made a bad situation worse. That's a big mistake. And so the word mistake was taken as my sort of official quote. I know other people like to use inflammatory language, cheat, and whatever the case may be. And I do think that's where we do get actually out of bounds. We make it very editorial. And I think golf is, as some would say, we're meant to be above that. We have the most complex set of rules in any game. We've tried to simplify them at the start of 2019, yet I'd probably put my last dollar on the fact that every professional on the PGA Tour would fail a rules test today if they had to sit one. So the recreational player would have no chance, and yet we quote the rules to the letter of the law as if we're the judge in the Supreme Court. So we are in a situation right now where we go down ugly street really, really quickly. In that respect, too, you know, I don't think Patrick Reed could defend what he did, but he was penalized. And I think that's the thing that people forget. If you know that rule, he wasn't in a bunker. He was in a native area. He did improve his lie. Doesn't matter how close or far away from the ball you are. If you improve your lie, you improve your lie. Whether he took six practice swings or three or two, which he did, it's a two-shot penalty. That's the rule. And he was dealt with it appropriately. We didn't like what he said afterwards, and it's all gone crazy since then. But the same thing was said about Sergio Garcia, 240. I read an article this morning how they've made him, you know, the villain across the Atlantic. And Sergio's done as many good things, or more good things, than he's done bad things.
And but to follow up,
to answer your question, Frank, yeah, we need a villain. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yesterday, Frank, it's interesting. You're absolutely right about Patrick, but yesterday he drove it left on the eighth hole out here, and he was looking for relief from unusual damage, which any player would have been doing. But then we had to say that Patrick Reed was looking for relief, and he didn't get it. So automatically now everybody's going, oh, he's trying to do this again. And I would just think this is going to wear Patrick Reed out over time. And that wasn't any different than any other player would have done, but all of a sudden there was a ruckus again because Reed's trying to get relief. And somehow he's got to change what he's saying, I think.
Yeah, more on what he said. In other words, he was contrite. For example, at the Hero in the Bahamas, we would have viewed it differently. And I'm going to go back to the first show that I ever did with Mark. You know, the producer, Keith Hirschman, I got to know. I remember two-thirds of the way through the year where I was still doubtful whether I was going to stay in the business. And it was at Hickory, North Carolina. I went out for dinner with some Charles Schwab people who were heavily involved, and Keith and his future wife, Sarah. Sarah Hirschman now, who's involved with the Olympics. And I remember sort of getting in a heated discussion with Keith saying, well, you know, you obviously don't like what I bring to the table. And he was totally flabbergasted. Like, he saw it the completely other way. He said, just because I don't agree with what you're saying doesn't mean I don't think it's right for the show. And then I got to know him, and he said that golf commentary, and I'm not necessarily talking about studio shows here, should be accurate, not personal. And the other thing is we should be consistent. In other words, we should make the same certification or ruling on every other player in that situation. If you can go to bed with your head on your pillow and say that, then you're doing the job correctly. And I think, to Mark's point, that's the problem where it gets out of hand. Now any other player is going to appear to be treated differently.
Yeah, And yet it's because most players take the penalty and say something, whoops, didn't mean to do that, I made a mistake, lost my mind, whatever it is. But in this case, that comment about, well, that was a bad camera angle. What? You know, I mean, the camera angle looked perfect to me because I could see lots of sand going back twice. And to say that you didn't notice it, I mean, I have Kevin Carl, PGA, right here, and Kevin, head professional, Wildlife Country Club. You've played professionally. Would you feel that sand if your club would touch it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And visually, not even just feel, but just visually, you would see it.
Because he's looking down.
Yeah.
But from that angle of the camera, we thought he was looking down, and it seemed pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about, you know, the feeling of running into something with your club. You know, some of us might not notice that, but I think even I would notice hitting that much sand. Mark?
Well, yeah, I mean, my playing career was so bad, I was in the sand all the time. And I had to be particularly careful. And, yes, I would have known that.
Yeah.
For sure.
And Frank, that's I agree with you. I agree but I think he's put himself in this position by not just owning or just not saying anything at all about blaming something else.
If I can jump in, there are two things. You know, we are in an editorial time now where a lot of things are about ratings. So we are going to get the overblown assumption of what happened too. As soon as I saw it, obviously it was improving a lot. There's no doubt in that. And Swagger White is the umpired refereed at the highest level in golf. There was no doubt in his mind as well. So, but the penalty was imposed. Now, what he said afterwards, in some respects, shouldn't count, but it does in our game because we do try and hold ourselves. We can be a little pious and hypocritical at times, well, a lot of times during golf afterwards. But the rule, just like any other sport, it should, you know, if the guy flops on a soccer field or, you know, travels in basketball, we let it go. The referee blows the whistle, they incur the respective penalty, and we move on. But in golf, we go, okay, like Phil Mickelson at Shinnecock, what he said afterwards really actually should have led to a disqualification.
Mm-hmm.
But so, and I get back to that's where we have to be consistent. If we consistently monitor what the player does on the golf course, that's one thing. And we should police that to the highest degree because we have the best rules officials in the world. What's offset off the golf course, I think we have to be really careful because we start judging people because either they're ignorant or they don't say what we want them to say.
Okay, you got it.
Or what we want them to hear.
Yes, I hear you loud and clear, and that's a really, really good point. It just, you know, there's just something about Patrick Reed. When I saw him in the media center at Century Tournament of Champions, very affable young man. He was very polite with the media, took all the questions. None of this came up. It went, and I thought, well, seems like a really nice guy. And so, you know, and we do tend to grab a hold of something that's controversial. We seem to like, okay, golf is pretty staid. It's pretty, you know, we're going to go play a game, and whoever wins, bravo, and we have the polite golf clap. But if we can get something that's controversial, then all of a sudden, that puts us in the center. We're going to be talking more. It gives us a talking point, and that can carry on. And I see your point about, if we're going to do that for one, we've got to do that for them all, but we don't have cameras everywhere.
Yeah, but I agree. I mean, the thing is, we just have to hold everybody to the same standard. I don't like what he did. There's not a single player that would have liked what he did. There's not a single viewer that would have liked what he did. But we have to hold everybody to the same standard if we're going to use inflammatory language to describe the situation. And I just think that's where also, as people that cover the sport, we have to be careful.
Very good. Very good. Frank, so when's your first assignment? Where do you go first?
Yeah, I'm at San Diego. I'm starting to watch golf. Obviously, you've got a good tournament, but there was a great tournament last week, Kapalua. I just heard, you know, I was hearing Mark's dulcet tones last week, you know, a windy place. It seemed like Hawaii's, in a neat way, I'm not there, so there's bad weather, so I'm sort of happy for that. Not for that sort of joking.
Well, yes.
Well, it's always perfect. These perfect sunsets. I used to just get sick of taking the same picture there in at Waikiki, you know, at night walking along the promenade there, and that was like the same beautiful sunset. So it's kind of nice you get bad weather like everywhere else. But and Brendan Steele, I first met Brendan Steele at, well, actually I met him in a tour orientation. And can I indulge you with like 90 seconds if I can keep it quick?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I did a tour orientation in 2011, Keegan Bradley year and all that, and I don't know why I was invited to go along, but I told the guys, and I just held up a name card, I think it was Johnny Vegas, and I said, look, in the TV land, this is all we know of you, your name. And when you go into that media center, oddly enough, it's good after Patrick Reed, I said, what you say is really what we're going to talk about. We're getting to know you. And I said, it's incumbent of you to say something other than drive 7-0. So anyway, fast forward. We would always have a dinner. There was Steve Sands and myself, a guy called Stu Nichol and John Friedman from the PGA Tour. We'd always hit a P.F. Chang's in Waikiki, and we'd sort of reminisce about what happened the previous year and what was going to happen. And this guy walks past and says, hi. And one of the guys at the table, it wasn't me, goes, was that a caddy? And I'm like, no, I don't think it was. It could have been one of the guys at the tour orientation. So anyway, one of the other guys, rather than me, so I wouldn't be embarrassed, went down. They found out it was Brendan Steele. So I went, oh, well, I said a few other words. Damn it. I should have known that. So anyway, I went back to my room, and I studied on Brendan Steele because it was his first ever fully-fledged PGA tournament, Sony, 9 years ago. So I look at it, and I find out his uncle played Luke in General Hospital, you know, found out some other things about him and all that, and I thought, rats, now I've got to go and apologize to him. So I found his tee off time, and it was well before the broadcast. He was off about, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I wanted to meet him before he got onto the range so I didn't upset his warm-up. And anyway, so I got him, and I said, hey, Brendan, I stopped him before he went on the way. I just want to say, sorry, I should have recognized you last night. Thanks for teaching me how to do my job. Hey, your uncle played, you know, Luke in General Hospital, blah, 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 blah. So I walked back to the range, and this elderly couple, well, not that old, but they stopped me, and they said, oh, Frank Noble. I said, yeah. And they said, oh, our son's playing for the first time on the PGA Tour. And I said, who is it? And they said, well, this is Mr. and Mrs. Steele. So lo and behold, we actually got Brendan, I think it was on about the 11th hole. And I talked to Brendan, he told me to put a new Odyssey putter in the bag. And lo and behold, he has this putt from about, you know, 20 feet. So I have a chance to talk about him, saying brand new player on the PGA Tour. You know, his parents are out here following him. His uncle played, you know, Luke in General Hospital. And he's got a brand new putter in the bag. And so in a short and succinct way, I guess, there was a guy that taught me how to do my job, and lo and behold, all these years later, he's back on top of the leaderboard in the sun.
That's fantastic. It's a wonderful story, and it just goes to show, you know, doing your homework, and all of a sudden, things start snapping for you. And Brendan Steele, he'll tee off at 1 o'clock, Cameron Davis and Cameron Smith with him. We have to wrap the show. I end in about a minute 40, and I have to thank my sponsors. Frank Novello, will you be a guest again while you're on CBS Sports?
No doubt. And happy 21st year in the business, too.
Thank you very much. And Mark Rolfing, NBC and Golf Channel, so good to have you. Thank you for staying for the whole show. It's been a pleasure.
Same time next year.
Thank you. And Kevin Carl.
Have a great weekend, Rolf.
Thanks, Frank. You too. Take care. Give Celine a hug.
And Kevin Carl, our head professional, and he's the ringmaster. He makes sure everything runs smoothly here at the Sony Open in Hawaii. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Daniel.
And the Golf Club is made possible by these great people. Oahu Extraction, when it floods, water or worse, you know it's raining, and you know the way the wind is blowing it comes in places that it doesn't usually come. So if something's going on, you need to call Oahu Extraction. They're up 24/7 for you. They'll be there in 90 minutes. 330-6212. 330-6212. OahuExtraction.com. And Aloha Power Equipment, Hawaii's largest power equipment showroom. They're in two locations, Honolulu and Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment, we put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.